Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. It is indeed deadline day. Trade deadline in the National Football League is today, and teams are already getting busy, John Lopez.
Yeah, they are.
There was a few trades, like I believe the Tennessee and the Jets were able to consummate a trade, I believe, last night. Mm-hmm. That saw defensive lineman, if memory serves, go one way there. It was edge rusher Draymond Jones. This is to the Ravens, rather. The Titans getting the Jets' fifth-round pick. So the Ravens adding up, we were talking about them, beefing up what they were doing. But interestingly enough, we just saw something come across the wire not more than, 30 minutes ago?
Not even, yeah.
Where the Jags, they are also trying to steady themselves at, 5-3, give themselves an opportunity to really make the playoffs, because they add to that offense, especially as Travis Hunter goes to IR. Jacoby Myers is a wide receiver that's added. And he's a solid one. He hasn't necessarily found a place where he was happy necessarily. Mm-hmm. I know that he had done some good things in New England. Really, he had looked good in Las Vegas, but he just did not want to be there, and I can't blame him. That organization and that team had not looked very good to this point this year, and I think he was there last year as well, which was, that was a rough one where he had, Aiden O'Connell, and who was the other dude? Was it Gardner Minshew? Was it them two going back and forth, mm-hmm. being bad at quarterback? He got Geno Smith, and he was like, look, it's supposed to be a little better. I think he was still agitating for a trade at that point, but then Geno looked bad to start the season. So he finally finds his way out. He'll play with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you, John Lopez, have had a little bit of a come-to-Jesus moment on the Jags offense in general, or how they're playing.
Yeah.
What does this do for you, seeing that they add Jacoby Myers to the front?
Well, I think what it tells you is there you go. That's a division team clearly in buy mode with another weapon. I watched a lot. Don't ask me why, but I watched a lot of that Jaguars game against the Raiders on Sunday, and it seemed like as if Trevor Lawrence is on to something, that Liam Cohen and he are finding a little something with the Jags. I don't know how much confidence I have in them, but this is a team that is buying, that is 5-3. You're 3-5 in your division. You have another game against them, and they've added Jacoby Myers. So it speaks to what I was talking about in the first segment when we were sort of setting up trade deadline day. And, of course, we're always going to have your updates here, so you got to stay plugged in. But a lot of the buyers are in the AFC. And that speaks to how difficult the road is going to be, even if you do something, but especially if you stand pat or make a small peripheral type move.
Yeah, and one of the things that I also find interesting with the Jacoby Myers, this deal is the sixth trade since August 18th for James Gladstone there. They're also just going to be a lot more aggressive,
yes,
in the way that they go, which is going to be interesting for this Houston Texans team. It's going to be something that they have to think about, how they position within this division, where the first 2 years of this new era of football in Texans land with, C.J. Stroud, but more importantly with D'Amico Ryans, they were able to just kind of look around and go, the AFC South ain't going to do much. You don't have to consider them.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts look to be a team that is finally finding their groove to some degree. How much sustainable that is a question that you can ask yourself over seasons. The Jags have switched their whole MO, and this looks like it's going to be more sustainable for them. To what degree, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but you've got at least two teams that are clearly going to apply some pressure to you, and they're going to be aggressive in the way they go about it. So I know that Nick Casario has been, aggressive in different ways. They're going to need to make sure that they're maximizing their entire organizational structure, because it seems like the other teams in your division are also going to do just that same.
And how do you respond? Do you respond? And what happens if you don't? To me, that's what really is the story here, but the Jaguars definitely thinking they can make a move here.
Well, you can't make a move as response, though, can you?
No, but I'm just saying no matter what plan you have, how effective is it going to be? And you do, whether they say it or not, and they normally don't, you are watching what these other teams are doing.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
If for no other reason than this is creating the market. These are the teams, if you are indeed mm-hmm. wanting to get involved in the trade deadline, that you would be competing against for assets or trying to figure out, you know, who has things out there. And in speaking about that, I'm interested. I'm watching the Chargers to some degree. They lost Joe Alt. He undergoing a season-ending ankle surgery. Joe Alt, their left tackle. So, I mean, that's one of those things that I don't know if you can fix necessarily, but that's a team that I watch a little bit closer because that's one of those teams that's in that logjam ahead of you.
And they have to make a move.
In the AFC. I would imagine so. If there's one to be made, again, left tackle is not one of those things that's very easy to just kind of go
right
and shore up and fix per se. But the Chargers are already a team that I look at and I go, I don't know what to make of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because
they don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a clear idea of what you think of the Chargers? Because I came into the season thinking last year they were just really good at just doing what they needed to do on defense, and I guess to some degree they do some of that. But they're just they're solid, but I can't really point to a thing that they're great at. They're just kind of there.
Well, my opinion on the Chargers has not changed in several years now. They're impossible to figure. Just as a team and sort of the direction they're going. Now, they have a good coach, so maybe that changes things. And, they've been on a little bit of a hot streak here lately, but what does that mean? I don't know what that means because come postseason, we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we will see is ultimately where we go there as well. One more thing that I think trade deadline-wise is going to be interesting. I know that we have talked about it here, and we still don't know whether this Texans team will be aggressive. I've seen various different kind of perspectives where don't expect fireworks, which to be fair, I don't expect like a huge move. They're not positioned in place to just have all green lights on, go make a big all-in type gamble. But if they were going to make some move at tight end, I think one of those places that people are looking at, especially with the injuries that you've had there. I think one of the things that makes this more complicated is that Tucker Kraft of the Green Bay Packers looks like his season is going to be done with an Achilles injury. Was that what
I thought?
ACL?
ACL.
ACL,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Those ones for some reason go back and forth, even though different part of the leg. But that's a team that also, I mean, they are really well situated to try and be good. I know that they just got an odd loss this weekend to the Panthers. But that's a team that they have high aspirations in the NFC. Like they should be one of the better teams over there. That feels like that makes the market for a tight end tougher to get into if you are indeed trying to get
there. Yeah, and you said something a second ago that I tend to agree with you, but at the same time wouldn't put it past him. Like, what about a big swing? You know, we've been talking about, we're talking with Sean and Seth about, you know, what's the most likely thing the Texans are going to do today, whether it's, make a big trade, make a peripheral type trade for picks and such, stand pat. I would lean toward the peripheral move, but let's keep in mind also, I don't know what's out there. I don't know what he has working. Sometimes it's a big surprise. But Nick Caserio is not beyond making that big swing either. I just don't know what would be out there for them, whether I don't think it would be offensive line, maybe Evan Neal, but, you know, I don't know how big that would be. You know, running back, Achan would be probably the closest one.
Yeah, I feel like I could see Nick doing something like that, not maybe as a response for this year. Maybe it's something where we could kind of focus on next year too. So maybe he will give up a little something higher.
Achan would be the one.
Kind of think of something next year.
Because he's an absolute game breaker, can catch the ball and you know, proverbially, as they like to say, in space and just go the distance. I mean, I'm.
And he will be under contract for next year,
and he's
too,
only
right?
like 26 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, he's
that.
Relatively young. Yeah. You're right. He would still be under contract.
Because we don't know what the hell going on with Joe Mixon.
That is that is still a thing.
So Joe Mixon's already aging up. That could be something for the future. Yeah, that could be something for the future.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a number one running back, bona fide one at that, that you could say, hey, you leaning on that. From the 281, do you guys think Caserio should go after Breece Hall? I mean, he would give them an explosive player. That's one of those where I'm interested. Maybe you find something that, again, towards running back one for a future year. And then the thing that I think gives you a little bit of solace if you do decide to make a move like that is if he does end up moving on in free agency, is that a player that adds you a compensatory pick possibly if he gets a solid enough contract? The thing that we talked about earlier that I just keep falling back to is I get to this kind of nihilism of, but does that matter in the way that they actually end up using him, especially if they're going, hey, Breece Hall, we want you to run right up here in this inside zone, into this middle here, into this mess where this offensive line is not necessarily created very much push here.
That's
where it gets questionable.
That's more than fair, but he can be in space as well. And the other aspect here, and you say, you know, you don't necessarily, you know, decide what you're going to do based on others, but it definitely affects, you know, how you feel about your team. You know, teams like the Colts right now, they're in a position to make that big swing. You know, the Colts are way up there. And what would it mean if, like, Trey Hendrickson has been mentioned with the Colts? That would be problematic. That would be problematic. Also, you know the Chiefs. Talk about Devon Achane.
There you go. He went to your school, didn't he?
He's Gigum. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
If he ends up with the Chiefs, I swear, he's got Chief written all over him too. He's got
ooh, and Pacheco just got hurt. Not yes. to say that would be the reason why they, but they are good for just bringing in a player. And you go, what? How did we let this happen?
He's got Chief written all over him, and it drives me nuts.
Actually, you were talking about, like, with Schefter having the latest moves.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't have, like, kind of the guys that you anticipate maybe moving. I know Evan Neal's on the block is one of those guys that we were talking about.
Yeah.
And Njoku's been one of those guys that's been out there. Is there a player that you go, definitely don't want to see that player go to a particular place? Is that Trey Hendrickson to the Colts?
Trey Hendrickson to the Colts would be it. That is one that has been mentioned a lot. I think, obviously, you still have to play them twice, and they've got a big lead on you. That's one where I would be like, oh, that definitely affects the Texans directly.
Yeah. He might be. I mean, definitely he has a chance of being on the move just because mm-hmm. of his, you know, contract dispute with the Bengals. They mm-hmm. were barely able to get him under contract for this year. He's still heading into a free agent season. I imagine he wants to get far, far away from that building, but not just because of the organizational structure. Because in that locker room, it doesn't seem like it seems mm-hmm. like there's factions, ladies and gentlemen. That offense is mad. Capital yeah. M, capital A, capital D, mad. They lost this weekend in comeback. Well, lost comeback fashion. Yeah, they lost in comeback fashion.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying.
Yes.
They had a team walk them down is what happened. And
they came back and got the lead. 42-41.
Yeah.
And then
gave that lead right back.
Oh, my gosh.
And that team was the Chicago Bears, baby. Like, I understand Ben Johnson there, but, hey, man, it doesn't feel like it should be like this, I imagine.
Yeah.
I know who definitely does not believe that it should be like that. It is Chase Brown, their star running back. Mm-hmm. Jamar Chase has had similar sentiments as well,
yeah.
where he's like, hey, the defense should show up. This was Chase Brown talking about, the end of this game. I don't remember what the question was specifically, but you'll hear what Chase Brown had to say. And he's not pointing at the offense. Let me say that.
We just got to play complimentary football. Like, we put the ball in the end zone and go up a point at the end, finish the game. Like, just end it. Like, that's it. Like, that's what we need to do. Just end the game. Like, make them get us the ball back. Let us go to 22 victory and let's end the game. That's how I feel. You know, but we've taken steps forward. So offensively, so that's good. Like, you know, we're trying to control what we can control, and we're going to keep doing what we can do. And, you know, Flacco fought like a warrior today with, you know, the way his shoulder was. Like, you know, things aren't going to be perfect, but, you know, we made things work on our end, and, you know, we made mistakes, we learned from them, but we just kept on fighting. And at the end of the day, like, you got to go to the very end.
I don't think I've ever seen an entire offensive we ain't lose, y'all lost.
Yes.
That is crazy.
Oh my
God. I'm not even mad at that, to be honest.
No, the defense is going to be mad. And
I know that's something you probably shouldn't say.
Yeah.
But I'm not even mad at
is
that
he
comment.
Wrong?
He is not. I would like to give you some stats, friend. Joe Flacco threw for 470 yards. Yes, he had two interceptions, but he had four touchdowns.
Most in his career.
Yes. Think about that. That's Joe Flacco.
And on top of that, since the Bengals traded for Joe Flacco, they have literally been the most efficient offense in all of football. Mm-hmm. They gave up 47 points to the Chicago Bleeping Bears.
Dude. And Joe Flacco, this guy is just amazing. Like, just truly, truly amazing what he does in the off. I mean, there might be some hands throwing in that locker room, but the defense will probably miss.
Goodness gracious. Good God. Yeah, Geno Stone was not very – I don't think he was speaking specifically to that comment, but, you know, he felt like his comments were a little woe is me. Like, you know, they have a hard job out there. Yeah, it's not good out there. And I see you, Texter. I don't think you're wrong in bringing this up. Imagine what the defense of the Texans wants to say about the offense. I know that I sound like I'm kind of giggling or something. I always have a concern. And, you know, the team that I actually bring up is the 2017, I believe, Jaguars, where that really broke down their team, the defense feeling like they had to carry the offense around. Yeah. I always am very watchful for, does that ever take over at any point with the team?
I think they are saying it. It's human nature. It's just not public.
I think that the difference is with that Jags team, you have Blake Bortles, who I don't know if anybody was looking at him as like the franchise quarterback or anything. Mm-hmm. So you probably won't have that as much. You might have fingers pointing towards the offensive coordinator.
Look, it's human nature, especially after this last game. You can't tell me those guys didn't go, you know, whatever, had a restaurant, bar, back to their house to chill. And the defenders weren't going, man, look, what are these guys
the
doing?
Only thing is, I don't know if they're going to be pointing at
the
players at the offense.
Yeah.
I think they probably going to be pointing more at the system.
Yes.
Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, and I think that it's probably still within, like, normal amounts. Like, have y'all – actually, I think you went to a checkup rate recently, John Lopez. Mm-hmm. You know how they do your tests, and they're like, all right, so your cholesterol was in within a normal range here. Yeah. Might be a little high, but it's within a normal range. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's – what the discord, for lack of a better term, is with this Texas team. I imagine they're still in a normal range here. Because, I mean, this team, I will say.
I don't know.
I don't know if they're
in a normal range
here. You think the animosity cholesterol number is a little high?
I mean, it's human nature. I would be doing it.
Do they need to lay off the proverbial salt here?
I wouldn't go public and say, these guys stink. What is Nick Caley thinking? But when I'm with my boys, if it was just us three sitting around and we were on the defense, we'd be talking about that.
Now, would you be talking about the players on the defense? Like,
I don't think so.
Or is it more, man, what's up with this coaching staff, man?
I think because
I think Jacksonville, they might have been looking at, man, Blake Bortles, man.
Yeah, well, it was Blake Bortles, and then I think the thing that really broke them is when they brought Blake Bortles back on that fifth year option. They were like, all right,
they ran it back with
I get you had to do this. You had him on that four. You ain't had to bring him back.
Yeah, they ran it back with him.
Oh, so you think I'm going to do that again? You think I'm going to carry you again? Yeah. What you think's going to hell, no.
I don't think the players looking at C.J. Stroud as that.
And then very soon thereafter, Jalen Ramsey was at Los Angeles Rams.
Yes, he was.
I am out of here. So there you go. Football Talk, mind you, on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. Streaming November 16th on Paramount Plus, it's the return of Landman. From Taylor Sheridan, the co-creator of Yellowstone, Academy Award winner Billy Bob Thornton is back, baby! Featuring Academy Award nominees Demi Moore, Andy Garcia, and Sam Elliott. That's Landman, the new season streaming November 16th, only on Paramount+. All right, that's around the NFL here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, should we be worried a little bit more than it seems like we are right now about one C.J. Stroud? Let's talk about that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Tuesday. It's a Texans Ticket Tuesday, mind you. In the next hour, in 12 o'clock hour, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to the bullpen, as we do. And I say just the bullpen. Those are great seats.
Great seats.
Those are incredible seats right there close to the field. You get a good look at everything that's happening down there. So excited about that.
I go to the opposite side just about every week.
Do you?
Yeah, those are great seats. The opposite end of the...
I'm going to roll with you then one day.
Sorry, there's only one seat. No, I'm just kidding.
Would be one seat, huh?
If you see John Lopez walking around on the concourse or something, follow him.
I had a couple
because he got some good seats.
I had a couple shout-out Lopez when I was walking down
just
there.
Follow him. Yeah, just follow him.
And then you pretended like you didn't hear him, right?
No, man. I went up to him and said, hey, what's up?
Good. By the way, while I have an opportunity, then people in the parking lots are upset that you're not showing up. That's all I'm saying.
I would be happy to show up.
Disagree. I don't believe that's the case.
All right.
That sounds like you need to show up Sunday.
He's ducking the smoke.
You want to put this laundry out there? Let's put this laundry out there. Oh, sorry. We only have two passes this year.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah. Was it the parking passes?
No, no, for the HEB tailgate. No, I still walk around a little bit for, but yeah, nothing official.
Hey, I can sit one now and let you go. Mm-hmm. You know what? I sit out this Sunday and I'll let you go. Yeah.
Are you going?
Yeah.
He got to do it.
Every week. Because I got it. We got to make sure that we get a good interview.
Do it,
unless
man.
You want to do the interview, you can have it. You
no,
got
I'll
it.
Just hang out. All right.
I did want to mention this because you did ask a good question that I want to get to here in a second. But I did see, you know, there's a lot of questions about Nick Caseri and the way that this roster is put together. You criticized, you know, the kind of the ways in which they believe so strongly in the talent that they have when they get out there on this field to be like, well, you just got to go win. And what happens if you just don't have the guys to win? That, again, comes back to Nick Caseri and the way that he's built this.
Right.
And I saw someone on the YouTube page say, well, what happened? Y'all, he was y'all's GM GOAT 2 years ago. Y'all are wishy-washy. And that didn't sit right with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest. That
so we got to stay on that boat?
That's my thing.
Going yeah.
2 years is not long enough to see things. Like, again, depending on how you decide to view it. But there's a number of things within the Nick Caserio tenure that you could look at and you go, yeah, when you add these up, there's reason to have good question and maybe a little bit of derision for the general manager of this team. Like, you can even look up, just recently I was watching, Sunday. I was watching highlights and watching some locker room video. Stephon Diggs being real helpful to, mind you, the second best odds guy for MVP, Drake May. Stephon Diggs out there scoring a touchdown for him, talking about being all supporting him. You traded for that dude. You shortened his contract when you didn't need to. You gave up a big asset for him. Mm-hmm. And then he ends up walking and not really giving you that much value. Like, that's one of those moves that
and
probably.
He's looking real good this year.
On kind of the higher side of the moves in favor of Nick Caserio. Talk less of the way that they handle the offensive line, some other things. No, there's some reason. And I think within the time frame, there's definitely a lot of things that have been shown that you could change your opinion on.
Well, not only change your opinion, but even 2 years ago, when we were all, you know, buzzing about what he did on draft day and some of these other things, even then, I don't think we did a show where we said, yeah, he's perfect. I mean,
have anybody on the show said build him a statue?
Yes. 2 years ago, if you'd asked me, is he a good or bad general manager for this organization? You know, if you had to go with just one answer, I would say good. Today, I'm not so sure. But 2 years ago, there were still some questionable things he did. You remember how irritated I got about Mark Ingram? You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He said, you know what, Saints, I'm going to do you a favor. I'll go ahead and give you Mark Ingram after, you know, acquiring him and everything. I mean, there are always warts on everybody, and that's to be expected. But good or bad, 2 years ago, I would have absolutely said yes. Today, I'm not so sure because it's just an accumulation of things.
And see, that's why it's so hard to sit there because a lot of people want us to give us a grade right now what he did after night one of draft night.
Right.
It's just like, man, it's hard. Sometimes it take a couple years to see. But in the moment, I felt like the Kenyon Green, I thought that was an okay pick.
Yeah.
Because they needed some offensive line help.
Yeah, and they moved up to get him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But 2 years later, like that wasn't. A good move.
That's
so
right.
She had the right
things
to change our mind
Biggie.
A
things
little bit.
Change.
Yeah. Things do change. You know, I want to stay here then. We'll get to the CJ Stroud. I apologize. Yeah. We will get to that. Again, we got 4 hours and we're here until 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to sit here because I'm trying to figure out, like, this is a team and this is a year right now that we're trying to come to terms with what it is. And in doing that, you have to try and figure how you feel about various different portions, right? And Nick Caserio is one of those, especially on a day that is a talent acquisition, you know, milestone. Mm-hmm. It's trade deadline day today. Where are you right now with Nick Caserio as general manager? Because we've had a number of people hit us on the text line, which again is 713-572-4610, and ask, you know, if you were Callan Hanna, like, are you applying heat to Nick Caserio? Like, where do you sit with the tenure of Nick Caserio, or not even the tenure, but where do you sit with him holding that position right
now?
Well,
I just said I don't know if I would say he's good or bad. I will say this. I think he's trending down. I think he's absolutely trending down, given some of the trades that we now know were mistakes. I mean, some of the draft picks, you know, like Kenyon Green, et cetera, given some of the moves that have not been made, given some of the moves that were made this year on the offensive line and the philosophy behind him, you know, the philosophy of rather than go heavy, either spend big or go heavy in the draft on the offensive line, instead, he brought in guys that are just not good. I mean, tell me how that wouldn't change anybody's mind. Like not just one, not just two, not just three, but at least four offensive linemen that you can say, what? No, that didn't work out, right? So I would say trending down. And then the other reason I would say trending down is this whole philosophy of his guys, his way. I don't care what anybody says, you know, about Nick Cayley and such, and bringing in his guys, and you know where I'm going to go, the Patriot and John Carroll thing. I just can't get over, and maybe this is on me. Maybe I'm just dead wrong, and these are the greatest coaches in the history of football, or will prove to be. You can't tell me that when a defense like this and a coach like DeMeco Ryans is in place and established, you can't tell me that of all the resumes you get and all the recommendations you get from all your connections around the NFL, the best dudes for the job all went to John Carroll or have Patriots connection. Can't tell me that. I mean, I know people have their tendencies to, you know, to familiarity and friends in the business and all that. But man, this is the NFL, if you didn't know already. You've got to find the best guys for that job.
And listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing I want to highlight, because as always want to try and be as fair as possible. I think that sometimes we have to stop and recollect and remember that any talent acquisition is not going to be 100% accuracy proposition. Sure. It's not going to necessarily be an 80, 70% proposition. The general managers, the executives that we look at, that we applaud all the damn time. Howie Roseman has a number of stinkers in there, but it is just covered up by the tremendous wins that happen in there. So I want to acknowledge that to be fair. With that being said, like, I think the thing that gets me is something that it feels like, well, the words that we've used a lot recently, sometimes it feels like there's a little bit of arrogance in the way that this happens. Yes. Like, I don't expect you to be perfect. Again, I ain't nobody's parent, but I got two brothers that are 13, 15 years younger than me. So sometimes I feel like I play one on TV, so to say. And there's times where I'm like, I don't need you to be perfect, but I need you to acknowledge when you're wrong and like fix it. And at times I wonder at the agility of this organization and the staff to do that. And honestly, that's on multiple levels because we're seeing that now with the coaching staff in a way that's frustrating. Mm-hmm. But it seems like that also happens to some degree at the general manager. And that would be the thing that is more frustrating to me than anything.
Yeah. And I know DeMeco Ryans is a big part of, you know, they look in the mirror and they see something that's not there, you know, in terms of pounding the ball. We've talked about it, you know, and, you know, you get down to the goal line and, you know, you've got to want those situations, which I don't disagree with, but we're just going to power our way past these guys. Yes, that's largely a DeMeco Ryans thing, but it's also a reflection of the philosophy of offensively that Nick Caserio clearly has a penchant for, you know, in terms of run the ball, it's all that stuff. They you know, it's something that he's grown up in the NFL, so to speak. So, yeah, this guy has done some really good things. We wouldn't be here without that trade, you know, for Will Anderson.
Correct.
We wouldn't even be arguing this, you know, and C.J. Stroud and all that stuff.
And a willingness of the brain trust to have more, you know, more patience with Jalen Petrie to find him a role.
Huge credit.
Where he's able to succeed. They found some young, talented players, even at times where we are clamoring for them to utilize those young, talented players that they've acquired because they are showing an ability for talent. So I don't want to be unfair with this. I just want to kind of figure out where are we at this point?
No, huge credit for those things. I mean, we try to be fair on this show, no matter what, you know, you might think or don't think or whatever. We try to be fair, and I'm being fair. It's huge credit for all those things. It's good that we can complain because we're in this position to complain because of Nick Caserio, largely.
Sure.
But he is trending down in terms of the things that are now that you're at this level. And you fancied yourself a Super Bowl contender by all accounts, and these things are happening largely because of Nick Caserio.
So I think where it feels like we're settling is he is not in immediate danger of like losing his job or anything, right? Like there is a level of bringing them out of what was a very dark era in the Texans' time. Mm-hmm. But now as the expectations shift forward, there's still a different additional level, and I think there's a little bit more heat than there had previously. I don't say a little bit more. There's a lot more heat urgency to get this thing right sooner rather than later.
Yeah, didn't somebody say a long time ago, with great power comes great responsibility?
All right, Spider-Man. All right, that's where you wanted to end the segment on, was the okay. All right, you know what? We're definitely ending the segment after that. So from the 618, just remember, Caseria was fine with hiring Josh McCown as his head coach.
Well, technically he did.
Yeah.
He technically didn't. But
went
I
with Lovie Smith.
Yeah.
You're definitely losing. We're losing some patience, I think, as a collective with what he's doing here. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including speaking of acquisitions. We got an awards announcement and how that actually will help your Astros moving forward. We'll talk about that and a huge milestone hit in basketball yesterday. We'll talk about that more next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in loop on Sports Radio 610, where congrats are in order, John Lopez.
Well, thank you very much.
Not for you.
Oh.
What do you, wait, what, go ahead and tell me what you think that I would have been congratulating you for in that moment.
No, you tell, Lopez, tell us.
Yeah, Lopez,
what's going
tell
on,
me.
Man. Congratulations for what?
What did you think I was going to congratulate you for?
Well, I just asked you if I could print something, didn't I?
Printing, you thought congratulations. For printing. Huh?
Yes, yes. No, it's what I printed.
Oh, what'd you print?
I can't say right now.
See, now.
Should I play the breaking news sound?
No.
I have no idea what's happening here. What I was actually going to say is that the Baseball Writers of America have announced their finalists for a lot of the major awards in baseball, but the one that matters around these parts the most is the AL Cy Young, where Hunter Brown is a top three. He's a finalist for Cy Young, along with Garrett Crochet of the Red Sox and Tarek Skubal of the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, I don't think that Hunter Brown's winning this.
I don't either. But
I would love to see
him. Probably the closest vote of, like, all these awards are going to be walks. Or most all. Let me make sure while we're here.
Yeah, some of the other ones, AL MVP, Aaron Judge, Cal Raleigh.
That's going to be the closest
that
one.
That one's going to be a close one because Cal Raleigh was really good, and he's a catcher. But, I mean, a lot of the statistics point to another Aaron Judge. AL MVP a season.
NL is a walk.
Shohei Ohtani is winning that. Good God. his OPS this season was a 1014, 1,000 OPS.
Who is he going against?
Yeah. Kyle Schwarber and Juan Soto.
Okay. So, yeah, that's where you kind of look at the other two.
Tarek Skubal, probably a walk, or at least comfortable. NL Cy Young, Paul Skeens type. That's a walk.
And I don't think the vote. I think the voting was done before, so we're not getting the postseason Yoshinobu Yamamoto push here.
AL Manager of the Year, John Schneider.
Yeah,
walk from Toronto. NL Manager of the Year.
That could be interesting.
That one might be interesting
because Pat Murphy is the guy with getting that Brewers team looking so damn good this year. That's probably the look there.
AL Rookie of the Year, Nick Kurtz.
Without question. I mean, he had locked that up damn near All-Star break at that point.
NL Rookie of the Year. I guess that's going to be the closest one. Probably.
You know what the answer is? I don't care. That's what the answer is. NL Rookie of the Year, with all due respect to them. But yeah, no, that shout out to Hunter Brown even just being in that. Obviously, he wire to wire consideration for this award. Like, he started the season, we were like, oh, he might be that guy. Yeah. And he handled it all the way through the season. The lone consistent rock that you could lean on when it came to Astros pitching was Hunter Brown. And so he'll be a finalist. I hate to say that I really don't believe he will win this award. However, he did do something really special for the Astros in solidifying that.
Yes, he did.
Because he was, PPI eligible, I believe. And that's the prospect promotion incentive system that MLB put into place. Basically what it is if there's a prospect on the top 100 list, it basically is trying to incentivize teams to not do the service time manipulation, to actually bring them up and have them on the roster. Where if you do have a someone who's eligible in that, and you carry them on opening day roster, keep them through the entirety of the season, if they are top three voted in a major award, which I imagine he will be now that he is a finalist,
one of the last three,
right? Then you will get a draft pick at the end of the first round in the next draft, the Astros will be acquiring another draft pick, which is huge for this team in their current situation, adding more talent to this team, especially as they've had some talent drip over not signing back free agents. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're not going to sign.
And they're just not good generally
on the farm. Your farm. You're not going to draft somebody who's immediately going to help your club, but you're going to start adding a little bit and a high-valued prospect to your farm, which is going to be really important.
No, good news for him, good news for the Astros.
Yeah, so shout out. Honestly, the way that he started the season and with as much hope as we had for Cam Smith, that would have been something that was really nice too, is if Cam could have not allowed the fatigue to get through to him. And I don't want to say that as if it's like an indictment of him, but if the fatigue hadn't have worn down Cam Smith's season, that would have been cool to get, you know, have both of them in one of those kind of those places there. But again, salute to Hunter Brown because he deserved it. He had a fantastic year this year, and he is honored rightfully so as being a finalist for the AL Cy Young. Some other things that are popping. Of course, we talked about it earlier. The Rockets got a victory. And was there another big takeaway from you? Because, I mean, I think the big thing for me was just they got to win a close game. I know Ime was, happy about it. Not necessarily the way that it went, that it was necessarily close, but that they were able to get through and win it. And that the defense started showing up a little bit for him as well.
The big takeaway for me as I'm watching this, going back and forth from Monday Night Football was really just a man. We know how good he is. We know what he's capable of doing, the athleticism that he has. There's a level of smarts, basketball smarts, that is just next level that he's reaching.
Okay, so there's some breaking news in the National Football League that is very much popping.
I thought that was fake.
Goodness gracious. This is...
Good Lord.
All right. That's a dollar in the helmet for a false start. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, reporting that the New York Jets are sending cornerback Sauce Gardner to the Indianapolis Colts.
I thought that was fake, man. I'm like, wait a minute, what?
This
division.
I did not see that coming.
This division is a menace.
You want to know what all-in looks like? That's what all-in looks like.
It's not
like
Trey Hendrickson, I guess.
It ain't over yet.
I'm not sure that they're done. Right. What this feels like, I wouldn't be surprised if Lou Anarumo didn't go and talk to their general manager and say, hey, the thing that stopped me, the big difference that I had in Cincinnati between when we were a really, really good defense and to where we were a future defense was, they stopped giving me talent.
Mm-hmm.
Give me talent and you'll see the benefits of it. And they were like, all right, here, would you like a Sauce Gardner? Yes, please. That that is really frustrating considering that this offense is humming for the Colts. They just make good decisions. You have Daniel Jones there being the ultimate point guard of sorts, just getting the ball to those talented players. And then defense was one of those places where you go, all right, can they keep this going? I imagine Sauce Gardner makes that a lot easier. In the same way we were talking about heading to the Broncos. Mm-hmm. When you have a cornerback of that caliber, it eases what the rest of the defense has, and you can allot your talent in different ways. Sauce Gardner's going to help them quite a bit.
And Adam Schefter reporting the Colts are trading two first-round picks.
Goodness gracious.
That's going to be the cost.
Two first-round picks to the New York Jets for cornerback Sauce Gardner. First of all, before we even talk about the Colts, which is obviously a big story, it's a great pick for the Jets. That's a great trade for the Jets.
No, they're not going anywhere.
I probably would have did that trade, too, if I was the Jets. Yeah.
In a heartbeat. Look at Pat McAfee. He's so excited. He can't, he shouldn't be standing up. Anyway.
I mean.
Glad there's a desk there.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I feel bad for that Lucha mask right there, but yeah.
Books right there.
That actually. Two first makes me look at the Colts and go, hey, really?
Well, but what did I just say? Well, do you want to know what all in looks like?
Yeah, but...
Look, the AFC is wide open.
You're right.
The AFC is wide open. The Colts are the best team in the AFC.
You're right.
They just got better. They have a chance to, dare I say, get to and perhaps win a Super Bowl.
And they were struggling in that department. Yes. Who was that was getting cooked? We kept talking about? Yeah. I forgot who. Mm-hmm. That old-ass cornerback that kept getting cooked?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
It's steep. It is steep for a Sauce Gardner. That is a depressed asset, right? Like we know the name. Yeah. He's
gonna be there for the long run, though.
He will be there. But yes, he takes Sauce Gardner will step in. They have Jalen Jones and Mekhi Blackmon there as cornerbacks that they were leaning on. This is one of those where I think when this dust settles, we will not be laughing at the New York Jets. I think that getting a couple of firsts out of this is
I don't disagree, but like they are in. Like they're in. This is exactly what I was talking about earlier. Like it's not just what the Texans are doing; it's what other teams ahead of them are doing.
Yeah, it's a good trade for the Jets, of course.
It's a good trade for both.
That's what I said. I think both of them are kind of winners.
In a way, I do wonder. Like they must really believe that they are in on the quarterback rehabilitation era that's happening where you're seeing Baker Mayfield come in and not just be a cheap deal, but a guy that they can trust to be the quarterback for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold is looking a lot like he might be that kind of quarterback. They must believe that Daniel Jones is that. Because to give up for 2 first-round picks, I thought Daniel Jones looked good.
Yeah.
That felt like, all right, we have him until here until we can get a quarterback of like real repute. Now, I guess maybe you're just so high up in the AFC that you're like, well, we just have to go for it. But this could be, I mean, if they win a Super Bowl, then it is.
It don't matter.
It's worth every penny.
Yeah. However, if they don't hit that mark, this could be something that actually extends out and holds them back a little bit longer.
And it's going to be a struggle if they want to try to draft a quarterback. If they want to maybe look in the draft to get a quarterback, it seems like that's out the window right now.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe in the short term. But Daniel Jones is only making $14 million. You know, that's what.
How long is that contract that they ultimately signed
year.
For? Yeah, that's the thing. He's not making 14 next year with the way that he's played.
But again, that's why I said maybe. But I think they really like him and they'll pay him. But
or unless they want to go back to the Anthony Richardson experiment.
No, God, no.
No, that's done with.
Yeah.
That's clearly done with, I think.
Yeah, no. And so it makes sense in the short term for the Colts. You know, you got a guy on $14 million, which is, I know, a lot of money, but not in the NFL for a quarterback. You bring this guy in, you get rid of 2 first-round picks. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's
man.
A lot. It's good for both teams, but I think they made a statement. They put a stake in the ground.
Yeah, and we're 3 hours away from trade deadline, the actual deadline hitting, and it's starting to heat up. As we were talking about Sauce Gardner going to the Colts. If you're just stepping in your car, if you're just hearing this, Sauce Gardner traded to the Colts from the Jets. The Jets will receive 2 first-round picks from the Colts. This move also happens in the NFC. To make his team stronger, the Seattle Seahawks add Rashid Shaheed from the New Orleans Saints. So the New Orleans Saints, they've been bad. We knew that might be a place that we see some players traded for from Rashid Shaheed, a fantastic wide receiver. And you look at the Seahawks and you go, damn, dude, how much do y'all need?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's a team that win now.
Right. I mean,
you know, the same thing as the Colts. They see what's going on. You know, they've got it going on and they added.
I mean, Jaxon Smith-Njigba with Rashid Shaheed, and Torrey Horton has been really good for them as well. That's really fun, and Sam Darnold's done a good job.
Great job.
That's two quarterbacks that have done a good job shuttling the football around the park to their various talents. So, yeah, the Seahawks look scarier even more so now. Real quick, I did want to get to this because I hadn't at this point. Kelvin Sampson and the UH Cougars, pretty easy win against Lehigh, but it represented a big thing in his career. Kelvin Sampson got his 800th win. Congratulations to Coach Kelvin Sampson and his 300th here in Houston, and 17th D1 coach to reach 800 wins. Fourth active amongst John Calipari, Rick Barnes, and Bill Self. That's elite
company.
Company is the word I was looking for. Thank you. It's just even more clear, even though we already knew it, but Kelvin Sampson is just an absolute institution, and he's done a fantastic job with this University of Houston team.
I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing at what's on the TV.
Adam Schefter.
Right? Adam Schefter's in the back of an Uber on the phone talking to, by the way, he's on the phone talking to someone else while he's talking
doing
to
the interview.
McAfee.
Yeah. So he got two phones.
Both phones are active too.
Yes.
I bet the second call that he was getting is about Rashid Shaheed.
I'm sure that Uber driver is like, what the hell is going on in the back seat?
Don't worry about it. The tip will come through.
Yeah, that's right.
And mind you, in that game, Emmanuel Sharpe scored 24, man. He looks like he is about ready to step into that role after a really unfortunate ending with him at the center of it in the national championship.
And shout out to Montana Tech. They lit up the big M on the mountain for Kelvin Sampson. Did you see that?
Oh, I didn't.
His first college coaching.
That's really cool.
He was sweeping the floors and all that stuff. Washing the uniforms.
What year was this?
Whoo.
Gotta be, what,
80s?
Oh, 80s?
Probably.
I was about to say the 60s or something.
Man, how old do you think people are?
I don't know. You would know. You've seen them all. All right. That's what's popping.
The 60s.
I thought he went to school with Jesus, man.
Oh, man. All right. We are continuing
it's
to
like
watch.
Those kindergartners that you ask them, how old do you think I am? 12? And you're like 50. Yeah.
But it hurts worse when you're like 30 and they go 70. Yeah. You're like, come on, man. It's not even, you can't even count there. All right. We're going to continue to watch the trade deadline as it seems to be heating up around the National Football League. But coming up next, we'll go back to yesterday. D'Amico Ryans spoke to the media, and it didn't seem like he could give us an idea of what the offensive identity is. Did he give us a hint as to them changing in order to maybe find it. 713-572-4610. We talk about it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.